Amen. Today, as I just prayed, we are starting a new sermon series called Discipleship, Growing in Community. Growing in Community. Throughout this year, 2023, we've been talking about community. And we've been going through the book of Acts. But we're going to take a little break from the book of Acts. And we're going to be talking about discipleship specifically for just the next 3 weeks. It's going to be a short sermon series. But I want to talk about what the basics of discipleship is. And then I want to talk about what advanced discipleship is about. And then in our last sermon, I'm going to be talking about how disciples are called to make disciples. And so let's turn our Bibles to, today it says selected text, but let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We'll start in verse 18 and read all the way to the end of the chapter, to verse 20. If you have one of these Bibles in front of you, we're looking at page 835, 835. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And as you guys turn to this passage, I just want to say we're not going to do an exhaustive study of what discipleship is all about. If we were to do that, it would take us forever. So we're not going to do an exhaustive study. I'm just going to touch on certain points about discipleship so that as I believe that the Lord is leading us to think about this topic of discipleship, I'll be pointing at certain ideas of discipleship that I believe are important for our church to understand. All right? So again, Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. This is the reading of God's word. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let me read that one more time for us. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Today I want to ask, what are you learning about lately? What is it that you're focusing on to learn about? Some of you might respond by saying, "Well, I'm not a student, so I'm not really learning anything." Or, "I haven't learned much in a while. I haven't learned much in a while." But, you know, the fact is that every one of us are in the process of learning. Whether we know that we are or not, all of us are learning. Whether you are focused on learning or whether you are habitually just doing what you normally do, we are constantly in the process of learning, either learning something new or learning and reaffirming what we are doing to be what we consider normal in our lives. And so we're constantly learning. So I want to ask, what is it that you're filling your mind with? What is it that you're filling your time with? Because whatever you fill your mind with, whatever you fill your time with, that's what you're learning. Or that's what you're reaffirming to be what's important in your life. For me, what I think about often is I think about SpaceX. I've mentioned this multiple times in multiple sermons in the past. Because I really like it. I really like SpaceX. I really like what they do. And I'm looking at what their next project is. I'm looking at whether or not their latest project was successful or not. And I'm constantly learning. Every time I look at their video, every time I read an article about SpaceX, I'm constantly learning something. I'm learning about their company. I'm learning about how Elon Musk is the world's richest person in the world once again. I'm learning about how they do their testing and how they do their research and development. I'm learning about their technology just a little bit. I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm learning about all these things. And so I want to ask you, that's just one of the things I'm learning about. What are you learning about? What is it that you often fill your time with? What is it that you look to? Many of us, we look at the news. Some of us don't like looking at the news. This is a picture of the news that I looked at yesterday. And this was, the latest news yesterday was about the train crash that happened in India. And sometimes we click on those articles and we read more about a particular article. Sometimes we just scroll through what the headlines are and we learn about what the latest stuff is that's going on in this world. Not only do we learn about stuff, but sometimes when we look at these news or we look at Facebook, or some of us were too young for Facebook, or I should say some of us are too old for Instagram, I don't know. Either way, some of us, we look at these different social media, and what we learn is not only about what's going on, but we also learn how to respond to what's going on. So we see how different people, they respond to different things that are going on. We see how people are angry about different issues. We see how people are saddened. We see how people are placing importance on particular issues and saying, this is an important issue. And every time we look at these things, every time we soak in some of these things, we're learning along with them how to react, how to respond to these different issues. We might become angry with them. We might begin to say, yes, this is an important issue. And we begin to learn about how to respond as well. So again, what is it that you're learning? What is it that you focus on? What is it that you fill your time with? As Christians, what we're declaring, according to what Scripture tells us, what we should be declaring, is that it is our greatest joy to learn to become like Jesus. It is our greatest pleasure. It's what we enjoy. It's what we find just such joy and pleasure in. We want to become more and more like Jesus. And so as we think about this idea, about what we're learning versus what we're saying as Christians we should enjoy and what we should be learning, how do we put these things together? The main idea for today is this. Commit to learning and growing together in Jesus Christ. Our first point that we'll be going through is learning and growing together. Our second point is commit. And our third point is in Jesus Christ. All right, so once again, the main idea for today is commit to learning and growing together in Jesus Christ. Now, today the title is Basics of discipleship. And so we're going to talk about just some discipleship basics. For some of you, maybe for a lot of you, these are really basic things and you guys already know about these things. But there are some of us here that aren't Christian. Some of us here are brand new Christians. And so I think it's important for us to go over what the basics of discipleship are. Even for those of us that have been longtime Christians, maybe we don't know some of these basics. Or maybe we do know about them, but we've forgotten about them. And so again, this is not supposed to be comprehensive, exhaustive, but these are just some things that I believe are important for us to think about. Number one, what is the definition of a disciple? Well, it's basically a student. It's basically a student. Why are we talking about this word discipleship, or why are we talking about this word disciple? Well, it's because when Jesus Christ, he died and he rose again, he gave this command to all of his followers. He said, go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so Jesus is telling the disciples at that time to make disciples. Even though you see multiple verbs here, multiple action words here, The main verb in this passage in the original language is to make disciples. That's the main verb. Everything else are verbs to help support the idea of what it means to make disciples. And so Jesus' last command, according to the book of Matthew, and similarly in the book of Acts, there's something similar that says to go and be my witnesses and cause other people to become witnesses as well. There's a similar idea. Well, there's this idea of making disciples. Again, the disciple idea is to be a student, a follower of Jesus Christ. And in those early days, the way that Jesus made his disciples is that his disciples followed him wherever he went. They ate with him. They spent a lot of time with him. They saw how he interacted with other people. They listened to his teachings. And so they were a student not only of this knowledge of what you're supposed to know, but they were students of Jesus looking at how he interacted with people, what kind of tone he would have used when he was interacting with people. They observed how he ate with people, who he ate with. They observed all these things. And so when we talk about becoming disciples or making disciples, it's important for us not just to think about being a student the way we think about being a student, sitting in a class, taking notes, or just listening to the lecturer. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is what it says, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He says in 1 Corinthians 11, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." It's this idea of being an imitator, following the example of other people. Now, Paul is saying, imitate me. But you know, was Paul a perfect person? No, he wasn't. Paul was not a perfect person. Are any of us perfect people? We're not. And so would we ever say to someone else, imitate me, do what I do? Some of us might be a little bit shy and we might say, I don't know if I would say that to anyone because I don't know if I would want anyone to become like me. Right? But parents may say it all the time. Parents say it all the time to their children. Why aren't you doing what I'm doing? Maybe not imitate me. They might say that in the negative. Why aren't you doing what I'm doing? Don't you see how much I'm spending so much time for you? I do the dishes. I clean the house. You know, why can't you come and help me and do something similar? That idea of imitating me is in there. Now, the fact is that we are not perfect. And so when we say imitate us, what we're not saying is imitate everything about us. But as we follow Jesus Christ, imitate us the way that we follow Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was saying. And so what we're saying, the third point, or the second point rather, is that we need to be students of Jesus Christ. When we are called to make disciples, we're not called to make disciples of Peter Kim. We're not called to make disciples of a particular person among us here. We're called to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We are students of Jesus. Every single one of us are students of Jesus. And you know, the fact is that even if I were to say to you, imitate me as I imitate Christ, I have to acknowledge at the same time, and each one of us also needs to acknowledge that we are not perfect. And so I would say something like, imitate me the way that I follow Christ, the way that I imitate Christ. But you know all the other bad stuff that you see in me? Don't follow that. It sounds like kind of a cop-out answer, like, you know, hey, you're just saying, just follow the good things, but look at all the bad things you're doing. Why aren't you thinking about that? It may sound like that, but there is this teaching that Jesus gave in Matthew 23. He says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. Okay? I may be up here, and I'll tell you, I am a sinner myself. I fail in all kinds of ways. And I've shared the ways that I fail in the past as well. I am not perfect. And so Jesus has said this about teachers in the past. listen to what they say because they teach from God's word. But when you observe their life, yeah, there might be people out there that preach God's word that are living a completely wrong life. In that kind of case, remember that you are a student of Jesus Christ, not a student of that preacher. Listen to what they say. Do what they say you should do. But don't do like what they do. That's what Jesus says about the scribes and the Pharisees back then. So remember that we are students of Jesus. But not only that, we need to be disciples together. What does this mean? Even though all of us are disciples of Jesus Christ, it's very easy for one of us to say, some of us to say, right, I'm supposed to be a disciple of Jesus. So I don't really need these other people. Because if I'm around these people, they just end up hurting me. Some people are annoying. And I don't really feel comfortable in the church with so many people around me. So I just need to believe in Jesus Christ and follow him and read the Bible on my own. And that's good enough, right? I could just do this at home by myself, right? Well, no. Because in our passage today, we saw how Jesus Christ has said, make disciples. That means that there are people that are leading other people. And that also means that there are people that are being led by other people. And so the way that Jesus Christ has structured the church is that we together need to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ, but we help each other to grow together. And so in the church, we need to disciple one another. We need to grow together. And there is a form of discipleship that's going on, whether it's a pastor to the congregant member, whether it's peers that are able to disciple one another. There are ways that we can help each other to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we are focusing on being students of our Lord Jesus together. Now, there may be different methods of how we disciple. Different methods may include the Sunday worship. And so whenever we come here every Sunday, a form of discipleship is actually happening. We are learning from God's word. We are learning to sing to God, right? Some of you guys might say, oh, I'm not a singer and I don't really do that kind of thing. No, the reason why we come together is because the Bible tells us, sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And together we sing and we learn to sing together. We look at the words on the screen. We think about the lyrics and we say, yes, that's true. And we sing to God his praises. We learn to pray together. We learn to give of our resources together when we give our offering. We learn to greet one another and say hello and share God's love to one another. So every time we come together as a church on Sundays, discipleship is happening not just through the preaching, but through everything that we do. Even the part about confessing our sins. We don't do that every single week because we're like, every one of you are bad people. That's not why. The reason why we do that every single week is just to remind us continually, we are sinners. I need to acknowledge that myself, that I am a sinner and I need Jesus today. And we practice that every single week so that as you go throughout the week, every day you can be reminded, yes, I am a sinner. I need Jesus in my life today. And that's why we do the things that we do on Sundays. The Sunday worship is a form of discipleship. And so every time we come here together, I hope that your heart is not a hard heart that says, I just need to come, I just need to sit through this, and I just need to get out. I hope your heart is open and saying, Jesus, what is it that you want to teach me today? How do I need to change? How do I need to grow? What do I need to learn today? Because that's what discipleship is about. Remember, Jesus said, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. It also happens through the community groups. In our community groups, we not only learn to do all the things that we're doing in the Sunday worship, but we also learn to grow deeper in our relationship with one another. We learn about each other's prayer requests. We share about some of our deep struggles. We take the time to ask questions and go deeper into certain topics about the Bible, and so that we could go a little bit deeper in understanding who our God is and how we're supposed to live our lives for the Lord. And so community groups are important, and that's where discipleship happens as well. Another method of discipleship is being able to meet with someone one-on-one or one-on-two or one-on-three in these really small groups so that you can go really deep, so that you can ask all the questions that you have, so that that person can help you answer, or together you can research and dive into God's Word and to try to understand, how do we get through the day? How are we supposed to work at work as Christians? And when you meet together one-on-one and you pray together and you learn together, then you can go much, much deeper in understanding how you, in your particular life, in your particular family, and in your particular workplace, how you can grow in the Lord and be a witness, a disciple maker, a light for the people there. What's the ultimate goal then? The ultimate goal in discipleship as a disciple. Every one of us are disciples. Even I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Or I should say, let me fix that. All of us that put our faith in Jesus Christ, that call ourselves Christians, or all of you that are curious about Christianity and you're learning about Christianity, all of us, to some degree, are students of Jesus Christ. We're learning more and more about who Jesus is. And that includes me. And so the ultimate goal from a disciple's perspective is to learn what's being taught and to obey what's being taught. The goal that we should have as Christians is to be a learner, is to be a person that seeks to learn and wrestle with it and obey God's word. Another way of saying that is that as we learn, the ultimate goal for us is to become imitators of Jesus Christ. A fancy word that Christians use is sanctification, to become more and more holy, or in other words, to become more and more like Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal. Now, we're called to commit to learning and growing together in Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you, are you committed to do this? Are you committed to learning and growing to become more and more like Jesus Christ? Is your heart open to saying, I am open to learning and I am open to obey what God has for me? Is that you? Well, sometimes when we hear this word, commit, it's a difficult idea because there might be a lot of questions that pop up. There might be a lot of reservations that are there. There might be a lot of questions about whether or not you're able to. And so we come to our second point about committing. The idea of committing is a decision. When we say that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we can't just call ourselves a disciple of Jesus Christ. We can't just say that we're a Christian. But when we say that we are a Christian, we're also saying, I am making a decision to follow Jesus. I am making a decision to search God's word. I am making a decision to obey what God commands. And I may not do it perfectly, but I'm committed. I'm making a decision to continue to grow in this way. Some of us at this point might already feel a burden. Like, oh man, that just sounds so tiring. That sounds so burdensome. But let me just comfort you right now and say, you know, God knows that you're not going to do it perfectly. God's going to help you along the way. And so with that in mind, Christian, if you are a Christian here today, I want to remind you, when we said yes to our Lord Jesus Christ, what we're saying is we've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. We've made a decision to continue to learn and grow to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Acknowledging that we are not going to do it perfectly, But leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we are committed to grow and to learn from our Lord Jesus. That's what it's about. That's what being a disciple of Jesus Christ is about. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple. I don't want to make a distinction between saying, if you're a Christian, you need to become a disciple. No. If you are a Christian, then you've committed to become a student, a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple. It's just a matter of whether you are learning from Jesus or learning from something else. If we're supposed to commit to learn and grow, then what is it that we're supposed to specifically learn and grow in? What are we supposed to be doing as disciples of Jesus Christ? This is what it's about. We've been talking about this idea of the church being devoted to the preaching of the apostles, the disciples being devoted to prayer, the disciples being devoted to the breaking of bread, and the disciples being devoted to fellowship, the church being devoted to these things. We've been talking about this all throughout the year up until this point. And I want to bring that back for us today. You know, as a church, we're supposed to be devoted to these things. And that means as individuals, we're supposed to be devoted to these things. As individuals, if we're going to be devoted to God's word, to the preaching of God's word, it means that we ourselves need to be devoted to reading God's word. We ourselves, if you're not reading God's word, then you're not acting as a Christian. You're not living out your life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We need to be reading God's word. Sometimes that's difficult because what we say is that we don't have enough time or we continue to forget. And you know what that means? What that means is that you're not learning from God's word, but you're actually learning from your current lifestyle about how you're supposed to live your life so that those things that you focus on are so important that you tell yourself you don't have enough time to read God's word. You see, we're constantly learning. But either you're going to learn from God's ways or you're going to learn from your old way of life, or you're going to be learning from what other people tell you. But you're constantly learning and reaffirming that way of life that you're living. We need to be devoted to prayers, praying on our own, not just for meals, but going to God in prayer all throughout the day. That may mean that anytime you run into a situation or when you're about to go into a meeting or when you're about to start a project or when you need to meet a certain deadline, through all of those situations, you're constantly praying and you're just thinking. You're just throwing out little prayers to God saying, God, I need you here. I need your help. Lord, whatever happens here, let your will be done. I really want this thing to happen, but God, I trust you that you're going to be working things out. Constantly praying throughout the day. Constantly looking to the Lord. Lord, as I meet up with this person, I trust that you're going to guide our conversation. Give me the words to speak. God, as I meet up with the people at church today, I still feel a little bit nervous, but Lord, give me the confidence to go in and be a blessing to the people at church. Just constantly praying. Breaking of bread, what's that all about? That's about coming together as a church and saying we together as a church, we are looking to our Lord Jesus Christ and remembering who he is as our Lord. The breaking of bread, the sacraments, they don't happen on your own. They don't happen where you do it by yourself. They happen as a church together. And so the idea of breaking of bread is to be committed to attending the church, being committed to attending and being a part of the community, being a part of the life of the church. And this does not mean that because, and let me just be clear for everyone here that has a home church in another country, just because you belong to another church, it doesn't mean that you're just part of that church and you don't have to be a part of this church. If you're at this church, attending this church while you're here in Taiwan, that means that you are part of this body. It's almost like, you know, if I'm talking about a body here, my finger cannot go to another country and say, I'm still a part of this body here. You can't do that. When you are part of a church that you're attending, you need to be committed to that body that you're attending. Become a part of the life of that church. Be committed. Don't be hopping around to different churches. Be at one body and be committed to that church. Be committed to attending and being a part of the life of that church. And the last one is be committed to serving others. As we take time to get to know one another, we find out each other's needs, we find out how we need to pray for one another, or maybe even provide financially or help out with them moving, whatever it might be, we learn to serve one another. And we're committed to doing that. We are committed to loving God, and we're committing to loving one another. And so I've talked about all these things, but here's the idea behind all that. As I've talked about what do we need to be committed to, again, some of our hearts might be a little bit like, ugh, I don't know if I like that. Some of us might even go so far to say, I don't know if I agree with that. But again, when we talk about being a disciple, it means being committed to growth, being committed to growing in the Lord together. When we think about this idea of discipleship, some of us might have different ideas of why we might not have this posture of learning and growing. Some of us might not have this posture. And some of you guys might say, I am learning. But at the same time, you're rejecting certain things. And yes, there are times that if I'm teaching something that's different from God's word, please reject it. That's okay. And please come and tell me that that's not what the Bible teaches. I welcome that. But if I'm teaching from God's word, then I would challenge you guys. I would say, think about it and think about why your heart is not open to learning and growing in those areas. We need to be committed to growth, but why is it that we're not? Sometimes your answer might be something like, I know, it's because I know more than that person. And it might not be talking about me, but maybe sometimes you're talking with someone else in the church and they're saying, hey, you know, this is what the Bible says and, you know, let's pray together and things like that. And you're having a heart that's like, ugh, I don't know, this person is being a little bit too strong in their beliefs. I don't know if I want to accept what they're saying. Well, maybe it's because your heart is saying, I know more than the other person. I don't need to be learning anything from this person. I need to stay away from this person. Yes, sometimes there are some strange people among us. And maybe all of us are strange in some way. Right? Amen? I had a friend way back. He said, nope, not me. I'm the master of normalcy. Anyways. All of us may be strange in some kind of way. All of us have something to offer one another. All of us are people who God will use to bless another person. And so if another person in the church is coming to me and talking to me about something, God may be working through that person to bless you. God may be working through that person to teach you. Even if that person is younger than you. Even if that person is not as smart as you. Even if that person hasn't been a Christian as long as you. But God may use that person to bless you. So maybe for some of us, our response might be, I know more than the other person. Let me just read through the other possible responses. And there may be many, many others. The other person is not mature enough. The other person is incorrect, according to my understanding. It's not that I'm not learning. I'm just wanting to help the other person grow. I can help them. They can't really help me. I want to help them. I already know all that stuff. I don't need the basics. I don't need you to keep telling me about the gospel. I want something deeper. Again, wanting something deeper is not bad. But if someone does say that, just take a step back and think, what's going on in your heart when you say something like that? Now it's not my time. Oh, rather, now it is my time to leave a legacy. I've heard from multiple people, when you get into your 40s, 50s, 60s, you start thinking about, how do I start passing on all the things that God has taught me? Okay, not that that's bad. Again, not that that's bad. But when you say something like that, what's going on in your heart? What is it that you're really saying? Or simply, you might say, I'm learning from Jesus. I don't need to learn from others. And whenever we have these types of excuses, we might be showing that we are not willing to learn from a particular person or from a particular situation, and our hearts are closed to advice. Our hearts are closed to how other people might be able to help us. In Ecclesiastes, it says this. This is a wisdom literature written by King Solomon. And King Solomon was talking about what would life be like without God in the picture. And so this is one of the things that, one of the wisdom ideas that he wrote about, not necessarily saying that God's not in the picture, but he's just observing this world and making observations. He says, better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. It's wisdom for us to actually have open hearts to continue to learn and to commit to growth. You know, the reason, if we look deeper in our hearts, the reason why some of us may have some of these responses is because maybe for some of us, we have this desire for some type of comfort or laziness, or we just want something that's convenient. And so we say, I don't want to learn right now about those kinds of things because I just want to get back home and just take, you know, have a good time with my day that I have off. I don't want to learn and commit to anything in that kind of way because I have things to do. But deep in your heart, you're just either lazy or you're seeking your own comfort, your own idea of what is good for you, what's important in that moment. Again, there might be some things that you need to take care of. Good, go and take care of those things. But what I'm saying is observe your heart. What's really going on in your heart when you say some of these things? Could it be that there's this desire for comfort or for convenience or just wanting to get away from people? What's in your heart? Another possible reason is that you are seeking recognition. You might be saying that, look, I want people to know that I know more than them. I have a PhD. I don't have a PhD. But you might be saying, I have a PhD. You might be saying something like, I've been a Christian longer than you have. So you should listen to what I'm saying rather than spouting off about what you think is true. Or you might be saying something like, I've studied theology much longer than you. And so I know more. I have more knowledge. I've read the Bible more than you. And because of these ideas, and those things may be true, but in your heart, what's driving you to say some of these things and to have a heart that's not committed to grow or to learn from people around you in this church is maybe this idea that you want to show that you are an accomplished person. Another possible idea is that maybe you want to show that you are pretty good as a Christian. And you want to show people, hey, look, I'm pretty good. I don't do all those bad things. You know, I'm a pretty good person. And I don't have to learn from you who is still struggling with stuff. And you feel better about yourself because you see that maybe God's been working in you so much more than that person. And maybe that's what's going on in your heart. And so for you may say all kinds of reasons about why you are not willing to learn from someone else in the church, or why you're not willing to learn from the different things that are going on in the service. You may have all kinds of excuses, but I'm asking you to look deeper in your heart as to what that reason is that you're giving that type of response. The Proverbs, in Proverbs 18, says this: before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. You see, the thing is that whenever we look to fulfill our own need for recognition or comfort or convenience or accomplishment, and that's what drives us to give all these reasons as to why we're not wanting to learn. Whenever that happens, we are not being humble. We are not demonstrating humility, but we are demonstrating a haughty heart that has a hard heart against God, who wants you to continue to grow in Him. And so we come to our third point. You know, the fact is that when we want to commit to learn and grow in together in Jesus Christ, it might be the case that I myself want to learn and want to grow. But as I've said, I love SpaceX. And I spend a lot of my time looking at other things. I spend a lot of my time looking at news articles and looking at different things about science and the robotics and all these kinds of things, because I love that kind of stuff. And it's okay that I look at this kind of stuff. It's okay that I spend time here. But then, am I also at the same time putting more importance and spending time building my relationship with the Lord? Am I spending time and focusing on and committing to the church and the people around me? Am I doing that? The fact is that we will all fail. And that's why we need to look to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a learner all throughout his life. He continued to depend on the Father, to learn from the Father, and to obey the Father. It says in this passage, this is when he was young, it says, and he said to them, why were you looking for me? Obviously, Jesus as a 12-year-old knows much more than his parents. It says, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. You know, even when Jesus was a child, he knew already a lot of things, but he still humbled himself and he submitted to his parents. He demonstrated obedience. And it says in the very next verse, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In Hebrews, it says this: not only did he obey when he was a child, but he also obeyed to the point of going to the cross for us. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence, right? Yes, he did die, but he did rise again from the dead. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You see, Jesus Christ, he learned obedience. He learned to follow what the Father said. And what that meant was that he went to the cross for our sins, for how we have haughty hearts, for how we continue to not learn from the Father and learn from the church the way that the Father wants to teach us, but we learn in our own ways. For that kind of sin, Jesus Christ obeyed, unlike us, and died on the cross for us. And this is what Jesus says. He was able to accomplish everlasting life for those who believe. And this is what he says to you: come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, here he says he's gentle. Another word there that you could use is meek. And he's lowly in heart. Another word that you could use there is humble. He is meek and he is humble. He himself is humble, and he was humble enough to obey the Father to the end. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You know, some of us, we might say that learning and growing might be a difficult thing, but Jesus Christ, he understands how difficult that can be. He understands the struggle with the temptations that we might face, and he knows exactly what you're going through. Our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again. And so whatever struggle you're facing right now, he is able to help you. He understands what you're going through, and he is able to help you so that you are able to obey as well. So that when we talk about committing, it's not by our own strength that we commit to the Lord, but it's with the help that Jesus Christ gives to us. And you know what? Learning from our Lord Jesus is much better than learning from anything else in this world. The passage here in John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have eternal life, that they may have life and have it abundantly." You know, when you begin to choose and follow the Lord's leading, and with the help and with the strength that the Lord gives to you, when we choose to follow the Lord, what you will begin to experience is a life that's abundant. A life where there's less and less stress. There will still be stress, but where there is less and less stress, where there's peace, and where there's joy. And so, with that said, I want us to just think about some applications, and we're over time now, but if you would you go to this website right now, tiny.cc/FPC discipleship, and it's going to be a little form here. It's just a very simple form. You could scan this, and then you could fill it out as I finish up here. tiny.cc/FPC discipleship. And please fill this out. Please fill this form out. Even if you aren't going to be here for a long time in Taiwan, please fill this out. It'll be a great way to help us know where all of you are at. Okay? Commit to the Sunday worship, commit to community groups, commit to even one-on-one discipleship. Let's commit to the Lord together to learn and to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much for your wonderful word, that you call us to be disciples of yours, and you call us to make disciples of others. Lord, I pray that you would guide us now and continue to teach us, that as we learn and grow in your ways, Lord, as we learn and grow with your help and with your strength, Lord, that we would grow for your glory and for your name's sake. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.